You can have the best sermons, the best worship, great greeters, and all the things right in your church services, but if your church isn't showing up when people search for it online, you're practically invisible. So in this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the things that most churches miss to get found on Google and what you can do about it. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about why your church isn't showing up on Google and what you can do to fix it. Should be a good conversation. I think this is one of the things that so many churches miss and really opens up like one of the biggest opportunities for churches to get more visitors in the door. So I think it should be a super valuable conversation. Hope to unpack a few ideas that are really helpful for our audience today.
Yeah, I totally agree, Thomas. This is something that's so important these days that you're right. A lot of churches miss. But I also talk to so many churches, they know this is a big deal. They know that people are going online and doing a Google search before they attend. But, you know, it's easy to miss this because, first of all, it takes a lot of, well, I say a lot of work. There's some quick fixes and there's some things, but it does take work. But also, I think it's just confusing or missed by a lot of churches because we're in the age of apps, social media, websites, and Google search, now AI. So, but you and I, I think we just saw a stat and I don't have the source or everything, but I know it was around 80% of people still using Google for their initial searches. So Google's still the main search engine, even in the midst of all these other things out there.
Yeah, I think it's going to change. So if you're watching this episode in the future, this may not be the case anymore. I'm just starting to notice. We track where a lot of our visitors on our website at ReachRight come from. And we're starting to get more and more where the source is marked as ChatGPT. I'm seeing this kind of rise. And so that's an important thing, maybe a future episode that we almost certainly will do, is how to show up on AI searches. So something to be talking about in the future. But today, I think you're right. It's the low-hanging fruit here. And so many churches struggle with why they're not showing up. So we want to unpack the seven reasons that I see most commonly as to why that's happening. And then hopefully we'll give you a little bit of ideas on how you can fix it.
Absolutely. Let's dig in. And the first one here is you haven't claimed or verified your Google business profile. This is really kind of the first step, isn't it, Thomas?
I think so. So there's a couple of different ways. I think we should probably address this first. When you do a Google search, there's three primary different kinds of links that can show up on a Google search. So usually at the very top, there's going to be the ads. So anybody that's paying for their link to be shown, that'll show up first. Below that, you'll usually have what's called the local search results or the map pack sometimes. This is directly tied to the organizations based on their location and a very complicated algorithm that Google thinks are the most important for that searcher, what they're probably looking for. And then below that, you'll have what's called the organic rankings, which is just more like a, it'll have, it's a like less locally based. It will still have some kind of a local bent, but there's more just of a, you could be competing against lists of directories of churches or, you know, lists of churches on Yelp. That kind of stuff would be showing up on there. There's another site called like Church Angel, I think, that lists churches all over the country. That's the kind of stuff that comes up there. So for the most part, the most valuable real estate is at the top. So ads are great. And if you aren't using the Google Ad Grant, this is a great chance to do that. But we're primarily talking today about that second one, which is the local search area. And that's what this part does. Like claiming your Google business profile is where it starts for ranking on those local searches. And if you haven't done that, you are almost invisible. So, and I can't tell, I mean, maybe you could give an estimate. You talk to way more churches than I do at this point, Ian, but I still see all the time churches coming to us saying, hey, we're not showing up on Google, and they haven't even claimed their business profile. So are you seeing that still?
Like, well, I'm actually seeing, yes, a lot of them haven't, but I'm also seeing a lot of them have the profile, but it's just messed up. It's not optimized. I think most churches have it from what I'm seeing at least. but it's just incomplete and lacking a lot of the information that Google's needing there. So
yeah, and so what that is, I think, is a lot of times is they like Google automatically makes your business profile. So they whether you get in there and claim it or not, it will there is a profile for your church. The question is, are you using it or not? And that's what I'm getting at is that if it's really kind of junky, a lot of times that means it's unclaimed and the church hasn't done anything with it yet. So that's usually the first step. And I imagine, you know, a church that's pretty sophisticated in outreach and those things, they've probably done this already, but do a quick check for me if you're not sure on this. If you're not sure, chances are you haven't claimed it. And if you haven't, you know, Google is severely suppressing your results on local searches. And so you really want to make sure you get on that and claim that. That's really 101. And then, yeah, what you're saying, optimizing it. We'll give you a few tips in the rest of this episode on how to do that. That'll kind of be sprinkled in. But yeah, you want to make sure it's cleaned up and looking good. And that's how you show up on those local searches. And that is probably the most effective free way to get people in your doors there.
I chuckle because what you said, you don't want to be severely suppressed with Google. So yeah, get it taken care of. So next one is your website is missing basic SEO. What do we mean by a website missing basic SEO?
Yeah, so there's a few things that you can do. Like, and when we're talking about this, we're talking about local SEO, like just things that are that really identify you and your church as part of your community there. So the primary things are, do you use the word church on your website? Like, so, and this might sound strange, but so many churches that don't have the word church in their name, they don't use the word church anywhere on the site. And that tells Google that you're, that makes it think you're probably not a church. So making sure like, so my church is called New Hope is the name of our church. It's not New Hope Church. We don't write it that way, but we have to intentionally put that we are a church that's dedicated to every heart, every home alive in Christ. That's, you know, but we'll say we are a church that does that. So doing that, and then also using location names in your site. So we would say, like in that example I had before, New Hope, we are a church in East Honolulu or in Hawaii Kai that is making every heart and every home alive in Christ. So we'll use those kinds of things in our content. So make sure you don't want to stuff it. Don't like, you know, just find ways to put the word church in there 45 times on your homepage. You know, you could use it once in the title, maybe once in the text, putting your name of your area. I would probably have a few different ways, like for you, Ian, you're in Georgetown, so you'd probably want the term Georgetown, Texas on your homepage, but you probably also want Austin on your website homepage because you're a suburb of Austin, and you might want Williamson County or something like that on your site too. So just getting those kinds of things in there, that'll help Google better understand where you are, and that does that local, that basic stuff. So beyond that, just getting your NAP, your name, address, and phone number, making sure you have that done consistently, put it on the footer of your site. Those few little steps, I think, can make an enormous impact and a huge swing in your local results.
Yeah, and that does sound like a little bit of an easier fix. And the last thing you said is a good segue into the other one, that the name, address, and phone number, because churches often are invisible with Google because their information is inconsistent across the web.
Yep.
Yeah. And by that, we mean name, address, and phone number is part of the information. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This is a big one. So this is kind of our third mistake we see is what tends to happen is that even if you don't do anything, there's all kinds of listing sites out there. And they're the kind of things, like we mentioned before, like Yelp or Apple Maps and Google Maps and Facebook and yellowpages.com. Some of them are older things that aren't, like even that Church Angel thing we talked about before. What tends to happen is those, you don't need to go on to all of those and change your, like you don't require to set up, aren't required to set up an account on every one of those and get your information out there. They scrape the internet and try and find your information and put it into their system. But what happens is a lot of times they'll scrape the internet and they'll get information that is slightly off. And what that does is it sometimes sends a signal to Google that this is not just one organization, but it's multiple organizations. So for instance, my church here, We are called New Hope Hawaii Kai is our full name. So when we write our name on things, it's New Hope Hawaii Kai. If some of these listing sites, when they scrape it, they happen to put just New Hope, or they put New Hope Church, or they put New Hope HK because they saw it written somewhere that way. Like that's all those things can be perceived by Google as different organizations, and therefore it kind of reduces your overall search juice and hurts your rankings on things. So the solution here is to be consistent on your site, but then also making sure that all of your listings on the internet are all consistent with that same kind of information. I see this also when it comes to like phone numbers, making sure that's consistent. So if you use dashes between your area code and your prefix, you know, always use dashes or always use periods, or just, it doesn't really matter what it is as long as it's consistent and you're always using it the same way. So lots of ways to do this, like to fix this problem. The reality is if you're not doing something actively to prevent this, you will have lots of mistakes in this area. So you need to do something. One option is to go to all these listing sites and manually correct it. The other option is to get some software or hire a company like ReachRite to go in and manage it all for you with software that we have to keep everything really consistent. And yeah, this of everything probably turns the dial the most and is one of the easiest things you can do to get some better results. So being consistent there is really important.
Yeah, you're right. This was one of the big ones and maybe one of the harder ones to pull off that I've seen churches struggle with. So, but and yes, we help with that and your software, but good. So the other ones, you're not getting enough or the right reviews. So let's say that again, not getting enough reviews or the right kind of reviews.
Yeah. So there are two things here. I think the most common one would be not getting enough reviews. I have seen a couple of situations where churches have been spammed with bad reviews, not because, in some cases it is really bad. We've had, there's all kinds of horror stories about churches that get into inappropriate things. And if it becomes a national story, I've seen hundreds of reviews come in a day that just give it one star and say, you know, pastor does what, embezzles money or something like that. So that's harder to fix if you have that issue. That's a whole nother conversation. We have done a podcast episode a couple of years ago, I think, about how to deal with that when we were helping a church go through that whole situation there. That is something that happens. But we'll focus more on the other one. Like the issue is typically not getting enough reviews because even if you get 4-star reviews or even 3-star reviews, that's okay. Like you shouldn't, I think it's kind of a red flag to people if they see a church that has 150 reviews, all of them are 5 stars. What that means to me is it's probably they're juicing the results a little bit or they have some kind of a campaign. I think people expect a couple of people to have, to not like it. Just like on Amazon, if something has all 5 stars, it's like, well, these feel like fake reviews to me in some way. So don't worry so much about like you want 5-star reviews, but if you get a 3 in there or something, it's not the end of the world. It's just more about the volume of things. So the way to fix this is just asking people to give reviews. There's a few things I would recommend. What I don't recommend is getting up there on a Sunday morning and saying, hey, everybody pull out your phone right now, open up Google and go click on this and then put in a 5-star review and then I'll give you 30 seconds to write some kind words. What that does is that will signal to Google that you're cheating because when they see, 85 reviews all coming in within 30 seconds of each other, yeah, at a mega church like that, you guys would be the most reviewed organization ever, right? So what I would recommend is like occasionally, like just have it built into your process where you ask people to give feedback on occasion. So especially like, maybe after maybe you just did a Financial Peace University. We do that at our church here. And at the end of Financial Peace University, hey, it means a lot that you guys came to this. If this was helpful to you, would you mind hopping on and just giving our church a review? And 3 or 4 people will give a review over a few days. Maybe put it into your email signature as your staff at your church that says leave us a review on Google. And I know that sounds weird, like, because people get thrown off by like reviews for churches. That's like, why would I do that? It's a church.
Well, I talk to a lot of churches about this, and I just say think of it as a testimony, right? Yeah, so exactly. and there's nothing wrong with someone giving you a testimony. So don't think of like a review for a restaurant where someone says, oh, the meatloaf was awful or whatever, or the steak was great, or whatever. It's more of, hey, God touched me here. What did this message encourage you? Did like you said, the financial peace course bless you and get you on track financially? Hey, let people know, and they'll know that our church is helping in those areas, right? So that's and usually when I explain it that way to a pastor, they're like, okay, that's a little different than what they think of, like with an Amazon product review or a restaurant review or whatever. So
right. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I think that's good. And I think that, just asking for it, putting it in your signature, those are some ideas there. But I think coaching people a little bit on how to do it would probably be helpful too. Because, you know, giving, like, just reminding them, like you're saying, to share it as a testimony, use that kind of language. I think you'll be good off to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. This next one's maybe a little confusing sounding. People are not posting Google update, or not people. Your church is not posting Google updates or events.
Yeah. Okay. So within your Google Business profile, there is a nifty tool where you can post updates. This is something that we have been testing quite a bit, and the evidence is showing that this makes an impact on your local search results. So this is primarily used for businesses to do things like promote promotions that they're having or that kind of stuff. You just put that out there to the community and getting that info out there. But what it signals to Google is you're an active organization that's using their platform, and they generally want to reward that with more traffic. So this isn't something like that you have to reinvent the wheel on. It, you know, if you have one post a week, that maybe even you just decide, like, on Fridays, we're going to give like a little service teaser on Fridays of like, you know, this weekend, Pastor Joe is talking about this topic, and, you know, you won't want to miss it. Or have you ever wondered this? You know, those kinds of posts with a graphic, those really will actually signal to Google that this is an active organization that's doing things weekly and has real stuff going on, and it'll help to get you better results when people do Google searches there. So, I think my guess is 95% of churches totally ignore this. I think that we're overwhelmed with, you know, posting on Facebook and Instagram and putting things on YouTube and TikTok. Right. And so Google's, because it really functions almost like a social post, like it is probably like 12th down the list in most people's thinking. But I think I'm not going to make a comparison like it's more valuable to post there than YouTube or Instagram. I don't really know that answer. But I do think that it's an outsized opportunity for the amount of effort you have to put in. Just make it part of your schedule. When you post something on Instagram on Fridays for what's happening at church on Sunday, post it on your Google Business profile too. And I think that'll make an impact and help you guys see more visitors.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So this next one's very interesting, and I bet very much so overlooked. You're not using AI to improve your website content. That's hurting your SEO, or that's hurting your Google visibility.
Yeah, I think this is a big opportunity. At first, we were really skeptical of using AI content on your website because it was so world-changing, right? So we've been in the web development world for years. We've had so many clients that the big hurdle was not us designing a website for them, but them writing their content, you know, because that's something we could help them with. And we did do some of that if they hired us to do it. But like, just, you know, we can't say what your church's, you know, vision and mission and core values are. Like, that's something God has to give you yourself. And I'm not talking about using it for that. Like, you could maybe massage language for your mission and values and those things, but you should work with the Holy Spirit on formulating those for your church, right? We agree on that. I assume that that's a God honoring practice. But I think, like, taking what you have currently, like, let's say you go into your youth page on your site, and just using a prompt that says, and I'm kind of spitballing this here, but a prompt that would be asking it to, you are a local SEO expert. and also an expert on evangelical church culture. Take a look at my current content on my youth page and help me optimize it for both readability and local SEO juice, and give me new content and make it as long as it should be based on local SEO best practices. So a prompt like that, I think, would actually get you something that would be really useful. I might do I might add one more caveat to that. I'd ask it to humanize the content a little bit more, because there is some evidence that if you just are spitting out straight AI content, that Google will penalize you for that. But AI is now smart enough that it can make content that that Google can't detect as AI. So you'd ask it to humanize it, make it a little bit more real, and it'll probably get you some better results on things. So again, I'm not saying optimize I'm not saying to rethink your vision and your values and your what you believe statements. Don't have AI tell you what you believe about women in ministry or those kinds of things. You got to do that yourself. But have it do some of these more technical writing sections and optimizing that content. That's a really great value, I think.
Good stuff. Last but not least here, your church website doesn't have a strong plan your visit page.
Yeah, this one's big. And I think the value of this is having a way you can actually measure the fruit of people getting onto your website. A plan your visit page, when we talk about this, it's usually just a page with several sections that are dedicated to someone that's newer and thinking about visiting your church. And it has a specific call to action that says something like, let us know you're coming, or you plan your visit might be what the button says. And then they can fill out a form and we'll save a seat for them, basically. We'll promise them maybe a gift, and we'll introduce them around and save some seats for them, those kinds of things. Do this, and we have found that it's good on just a basic level. It makes your guests much more sticky. It makes them much more likely to come back a second time if they fill this out, because I can have some conversation with them. As an executive pastor at my church, I love messaging with people that haven't even come yet. And like, a lot of times they're new to town and I can say, hey, where are you from? And, well, I'm so excited to meet you. And they're just really sticky people. But on top of that, from a search perspective, you can measure how many people are filling out that form. And that is a signal to Google, when people fill out that form, that this is something people are really interested in, and they're likely to show your content to more people when they're filling out a form on your site there. So I don't know, you talk to people all the time, and I know you help churches build out plan your visit pages when you help them, Ian. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's still something, you know, I see on most church websites, there's a what to expect, but there's still a lot of websites that are lacking this page. And by the way, it doesn't have to be called plan a visit. You can call it new here, visit us. But essentially it allows them to plan a visit, but like what you said, filling out the form. But what I think is also helpful with these pages for SEO, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Thomas, but these pages have visitor geared content, because not only are you allowing people to plan, usually these pages have like frequently asked questions. They talk about, you know, the service times. They talk about things that we know people are looking for, you know, on a church website, that kids, youth ministries, those things, the experience. So I think they have a lot of valuable content and keywords on them too, that help for SEO.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's exactly right. So super valuable. I think it's something that every church should be doing at this point. And really the measurement part is really a choice there for us. So yeah, anything else to add on, Ian? Any other things that you see that churches need to be aware of when it comes to getting found on Google?
Well, we know there's definitely more. I think these are the main seven that we're seeing right now. And like you said, Thomas, I think with AI, this will be changing as we go. But for now, I see these as the main ones. And I don't have much to add because of what we said at the beginning. Most churches are not doing all these things. So exactly. Let's start with this. And most certainly we can help. There's some quick fixes, like we said. There's some things you can do on your own, but there's a lot that'll take ongoing management. So you do have to count the cost and the time. So
that's it. That's exactly right. So, well, good. I hope it's been helpful to you guys. If it has been, it would mean a lot to me if you would hit the subscribe button down below. Drop us a comment down below if you have seen something that helps you get found on Google, or maybe you have a question about something search engine related. We answer every one of these comments that people leave on there. I personally answer a lot of them. And so if you have something, I'd be happy to help your church any way I can on that. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See you.